Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And I'd like to remind people that we will be taking questions pretty soon. And our call-in number is 800-313-9443. Also, we have a great chat going on at healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. That chat room again is healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. Alrighty, so what do they say is the take-home message here? First, there is no end to our struggle with bacteria. We will never win a war against them. And no gorillacillin, that means future superior antibiotic, will ever come along to save us from emergence of antibiotic resistance. Resistance is inevitable. So wait, back up. This is a bit too grim a prognostication. We've got MRSA killing 18,000 people a year, depending on who you want to believe. If you believe academic researchers, they say that really is still 50,000 a year because they've changed the definition of MRSA, and so the deaths from MRSA, the reduction we're seeing, is actually due to the change in definition. Clostridium difficile kills another 14,000 people a year. Now, all of these are killing more people than AIDS, by the way. This is quite a death toll here. And then we have vancomycin-resistant enterococcus. Supposedly, that kills only 1,300 people a year. So we've got quite a little death tally here. So if we believe the conservative numbers reported by the industry, and these are revised downward, so that would be 10, 20, 34, about 35,000 deaths per year just from antibiotic use. That's a pretty good number. And then when you take into account that the MRSA deaths of 18,000 is down from 49,000, basically due to the process of redefining MRSA, well, now you've got another big question mark here. So, there's no end to our struggle with bacteria. We'll never win a war against them, and no gorillacillin will ever come along to save us. In other words, what this means is in order to move forward with bacteria, future antibiotic development is not a plausible way forward. It will not advance the position of humans with respect to bacterial organisms. And they say this is critical, that we not waste antibiotics. I agree, we shouldn't waste antibiotics. In other words, why use them when they're not effective? So this person says, the author, they must not be prescribed to patients who do not have bacterial infections. Whoa, what about the use of prophylactic antibiotics? Huge, huge use of antibiotics. This is the practice of giving antibiotics to people who don't have infections to prevent future infections. And this is a huge area where antibiotic resistance is encountered and deaths happen. A young person might go to the hospital for knee surgery or tonsil surgery and receive prophylactic antibiotics and then end up getting a life-threatening or life-ending infection. And so this person is saying, do not prescribe antibiotics in patients who do not have a bacterial infection. So in other words, this means no prophylactic antibiotics, number one, and two, no presumptive antibiotics. What's a presumptive antibiotics? I mean, someone comes to you or to a doctor with a fever and some pain somewhere, and you just presume it's a bacterial infection. Rather, and you prescribe antibiotics right then and there. And so instead, what this person is saying, oh, no, do a culture and wait for the culture to come back. And I can tell you, as a doctor in medical practice, that's a pretty testy time. What do you do during that 3-day period when you're waiting for culture results to come back, number one? And if the patient deteriorates, and of course the doctor's liable because, well, the person came to you on Monday, you didn't prescribe antibiotics, the test came back Wednesday, and the person deteriorated in the interim, and maybe died on Thursday or Friday. So doctors are always afraid of course, the standard of care. How will they be covered? So standard of care, of course, is to start the antibiotics presumptively, presuming it might be bacterial, get the culture, and then stop the antibiotics on Wednesday if the person really did not have a bacterial infection. Unfortunately, of course, this gives the person 1, 2, 3 days of unnecessary, unneeded antibiotics and increases resistance. So this practice that he's saying is totally at odds with the standard of care. And many hospitals have policies that for certain surgeries, prophylactic antibiotics will be given. That means antibiotics are given when the person has no infection. Okay. And so when appropriate, prescribe the narrowest spectrum agent and the shortest duration possible to treat bacterial infections. And again, you can't do this unless you've isolated the infectious agent. And so this would call for doctors. I'm not saying it should or should not be done. But what I am saying is that there, right now there is no provision to do this. And the standard of care, as it's written, does not allow the doctor to do this. And this is going to result in a lot of malpractice suits being lost. And do not instruct patients to take every dose prescribed, even after they feel better. I know they're telling the doctor this. Now, if you tell a patient this, it would be more likely that it would be acted on and that the patients would not take the antibiotics. So do not instruct patients. I'll tell you, if you take antibiotics, do not take them after you feel better. You should stop them. Focus on evidence-based short-course regimens, and if the patient's symptoms resolve before completing the course of therapy, ask that they call you to discuss whether they should stop the antibiotic course early. So why should they call or discuss anything? The patient can tell they're feeling better. You should just stop it. And what doctor's office needs all the extra traffic of phone calls? So encourage patients to stop early when their symptoms resolve. So why should they call me? Right? Just give them the direction. That's what I used to do. Of course, I was in solo practice, and every call I got after the patient left the office, I basically lost money on, because that's time I could be spending seeing another patient. So I give the person all of their instruction. And if this happens, stop your medicine. Do not be falsely reassured by the lack of emergence of resistance at the site of infection. When you prescribe an antibiotic, you are creating resistance in the patient's microbiome. Resistant bacteria colonize the patient and can cause future antibiotic-resistant infections. And this, by the way, is a source of community-acquired resistant infections. People are receiving antibiotics for ear infections, for bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. And this is creating resistant bacteria. And then later on, they'll develop a resistant pneumonia or other infection. When choosing an antibiotic regimen, cidal versus static is largely irrelevant. Of course, that's their take-home message. My take-home message is stop the antibiotics. Don't use antibiotics. What should you use for therapy? In the old days, what worked really awesome was just to get the person to poop more, give them plenty of water to hydrate them, and give them something like clay or charcoal to soak up the extra bacteria in their gut. And I have found that is the biggest, most beneficial thing for people with infections. And it resolves fever and clears things up very nicely. Now, for localized infections, like for the nose, you can do neti pot, you know, flush it out. No, I'm not talking saline spray. I'm talking neti pot, a full 8 ounces all the way up. Wash those sinuses out. For ears, you can use garlic and mullein eardrops. For pneumonia, you can slather Vicks Vapor Rub on. Now, this is in addition to emptying the gut by inducing diarrhea. You can use castor oil. You can use prunes, whatever you have to do to induce diarrhea. Then a lot of times, just that alone in drinking water, you can see the fever, boom, go away. And for topical infections like boils, you can just apply some turpentine. Again, this is not medical advice. I'm not a licensed doctor, maybe a doctor, but not licensed. And, of course, any information that you use is at your own risk. But do go to vitalitycapsules.com, download your free report, the Candida Cleaner. It is version 2.0, updated, and it is awesome. Definitely will help you avoid antibiotics and the deadly kill pill. Now, I just want to take a little peek at some research, just so you can get a gist for what's going on here. It says, impact of more potent antibiotics on outcome measure for patients with vancomycin-resistant Enterococcus bacteremia. And the results, overall mortality, that means death rate, was 37.2%. Vancomycin-resistant bacteremia caused or significantly contributed to deaths in 69% of patients. That's huge. So in other words, if the person had a resistant infection, then the death rate was 70%. 71 patients were initially treated with linolazid, 20 with another antibiotic, and 22 with the combinations of other agents. Analysis indicated significantly more deaths in one particular antibiotic group than in the linazolid group. However, after adjustment for severity of illness, treatment group was not a significant independent factor. Conclusion: despite the development of antimicrobial agents with greater potency against vancomycin-resistant Enterococcus, a significant change in clinical outcome was not observed. This is important. So these more expensive antibiotics that are being developed for resistance are not improving survival. All right. So that's one study. Another study. Vancomycin-resistant enterococcal bacteria, natural history, and attributable mortality. Now, this is scandalous, and you need to get this. So what do you need to get? You need to get that this infection is associated with a death rate of between 17% and 100%. Okay, so that's pretty deadly. 100% is pretty deadly. But what they're saying is, wait a minute, the average death rate was 44%. And because the mortality was 67% among those with resistant organisms, then the attributable death rate to the resistant strain was, well, 37%. So I'm sorry, 30% was the average death rate of the people studied. And those with resistant organisms had a 67% death rate. So say, wait. Let's subtract the two. We can only attribute 37% of the deaths to vancomycin resistance. That's pretty deceptive. Why? Because if a person gets vancomycin resistance in this study, their chances of death are 67%, not 30%. And so what you really want what any person would want to know is, when I get vancomycin resistant enterococcus, what are my chances of death? Answer, 67%. But what are they going to say? No. We should just say you have a marginal or increased chance of death of 37%. Totally deceptive. And so people who are dying with this infection is actually 67%. In other words, almost double what their measurement is. And this is how these death rates are determined. And so you have a MRSA death rate of 18,000, for example. The way this is determined is they go back over all the folks who died in the hospital and were infected with MRSA. And they pick, we think this one died of MRSA. We think this one died of something else. And they don't count every single death in which MRSA was present. And so this skews the numbers. It makes them much, much, much lower. Because what they found was people hearing these very high death numbers, over 100,000 back in 2012, said, whoa, I don't think I want to go to the hospital. And so these numbers have essentially been adjusted and calibrated with methods like this. And this study came out in 2016. And this is what causes a MRSA infection. And this is important. Some individuals that are carriers of MRSA bacteria may be weakly contagious. So outside the hospital, MRSA is weakly contagious. In other words, it's hard to spread. Why? Because in order to get MRSA, you have to have an antibiotic-rich environment. And so if I have MRSA and I get real close to you and you don't have a high concentration of antibiotics in your body, you might pick up some of my resistant bacteria, but they're not going to thrive in your body. The non-resistant bacteria are going to crowd them out. And so this is, they don't give you the details here, but they say, meaning it is possible, but far less likely to transmit MRSA to others. And so some individuals are weak carriers of MRSA and may be weakly contagious. In other words, they may not be contagious at all, as long as they carry the bacteria. And so this idea of person-to-person spread of MRSA is a fantasy in the absence of a break in the skin. So if you have a bunch of people laying in a hospital with tubes penetrating their skin, then sure, a nurse or caregiver touching that person who might have MRSA, that the caregiver might transmit the MRSA, it easily goes right through the hole in their skin. But in a regular situation outside the hospital where people don't have stab wounds into their body from central lines or other tubes going in through the bladder and other ways where the resistant organism can easily gain access to the other person's body, transmission is very unlikely. In fact, in my opinion, not worth considering. And so the biggest defense against MRSA and all of resistant organisms is simply to not consume antibiotics, period. So you need to eat meat. If you're going to eat meat that doesn't have antibiotics in it, if you're going to eat dairy, you have to eat dairy with no antibiotics in it. The number one source of antibiotics is the food supply. 80% of all antibiotics are sold to farmers and put in your food. And all the doctor does is top you off, as a last step in the process of killing you. All right, we have some questions. Let's see. Dan in Texas. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm all right, Doc. How are you?
Pretty good.
I just wanted to ask you, in my left ear, feels like I might have some fluid in there, and I'm got that little problem where I'm kind of hearing my pulse or heartbeat in my left ear. There anything of day-to-day I can do to help that?
If you have fluid in your ear, that suggests that the tube which drains your fluid is blocked. That's the eustachian tube. So you can pop your ears. And the way you pop your ears is you, first of all, blow your nose. Then, once you blow your nose, you take a deep breath in, pinch off your nose, and blow the air out, not allowing any air to escape from your nose or your mouth. When you blow and you don't allow air to escape your nose or your mouth, it goes through the eustachian tube, pops it open, and the fluid drains. That's one way to drain the fluid. Another way to drain the fluid is to use garlic and mullein eardrops. Get those at your health food store. And you just drop them into the affected ear, fill the ear, plug with cotton, sleep with that ear up, and that helps drain the fluid. So those are two ways to drain the fluid.
And one thing I wanted to ask you is, unfortunately, we see all these ads on TV for all these vaccines. And now they're playing the ads for this pneumonia vaccine. And I just wanted to get your comments on that vaccine.
Well, first of all, a vaccine is a vaccine is a vaccine. And so it should be avoided. However, the pneumonia vaccine is especially deadly. So the pneumonia vaccine came back out in the late 70s. We'll talk more when we get back.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The five tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org. 800-326-2001.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Dance, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Dance. And we're talking to, with Dan in Texas.
Hey, Doc.
Yep.
Very quickly, until I can get my hands on some garlic and mullein drops tomorrow, would it be of any value to use some oil of wild oregano?
No, it's too harsh.
Okay.
Way too harsh for your delicate little eardrum.
All righty.
Okay. All right. See you. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Doc.
Uh-huh. Hey, Eddie in Ohio. Hi, Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Good.
I listened to you 100 times, I bet, and this is the first time I've ever called in.
Okay.
No,
good to
hear from you. I really like listening to you. You're pretty good. My thing is, I was going to say two things. What do you think about each one? And I'll just hang up and listen. I've always used peroxide to drop into my kids' ears or my ears so my ears bother me, and it's always seemed to cure it, whether that's good or not, you tell me. The other thing is what I do is take colloidal silver all the time. I've been making it for over 20 years. I've always given it to my kids. They come by the house, I give them a bottle of it, and we rarely seem like we get sick at all, you know. And if you can give me your comments on what you think of colloidal silver and put in peroxide in the ear, I'll just hang up and listen, because I actually want to hear myself talk too.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, so colloidal silver. I do not recommend colloidal silver because, while it may be helpful, I think it's kind of hit and miss. And I personally have experienced some pretty phenomenal failures. And I've seen that also in other people using it. So if you're going to use colloidal silver, the thing we recommend to understand is you absolutely must clear the bowels along with it. So drink increased water and have increased bowel movements. And then it should work pretty well for you. Peroxide drop into the ears. I don't use that. But if it's working for you, I think what might be working is the concentration. So you've got to, you know, get that right. Again, it can be pretty harsh. So what I do with ear problems is I use the garlic mullein ear drops. It's pretty reliable and very gentle. But again, whatever's working for you, you know, keep using it. But again, I don't recommend peroxide dropped in the ears because for some people it might be too harsh. All right, we got lots of action in the chat room. So let's see what we got here. Okay. All right. Let's go to the questions. Okay. Says, I'll tell you what, Dr. Daniels, when people start losing that health care and they can't afford prescription meds and start going into medical bankruptcy due to treatment, procedures, tests, surgeries that they might not even need, I'll bet you they won't be thinking that Dr. Daniels and her crazy paint thinner therapy is so crazy after all. It's amazing how brave and open-minded people get, the lighter their wallets and purses get, and the less secure their lives are. And, you know, this is a negative slant on it, but it's my hope that people will resort to economical and effective healing methods before they go bankrupt, that when they realize that the cost of what they're considering might be $20,000, $40,000, $50,000, it's like, whoa. Let me try a $3 bottle of turpentine and save the family vacation. You know, we'll have the money for the family vacation, or maybe we won't lose our house. And so if people can take a prospective attitude, then they will be a lot wealthier. And by the way, in 2008, before Obamacare passed, this was actually happening. And healthcare prices were moderating. And the government actually had to step in and pass Obamacare in order to save the healthcare industry, because people were making this decision to forego healthcare. And a lot of people would simply say, well, hey, I can't afford it. They forego the care. They a lot of times won't even do anything alternative, and they'll still get better. And what the system cannot tolerate is people refusing care for whatever reason, financial, ethical, moral, religious, doesn't matter, and getting outcomes better than those who do submit. And this is why we're seeing so much compulsory activity around medical care. All right, that's the first one. Second question. I've been treating a mouth infection under a crown with garlic capsules. I took 3 capsules 3 times a day for 10 days and then stopped because it seemed better. We'll finish this when we get back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers, and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and, of course, you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
How you doing? This is Jimmy from Zipa, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Black Friday and Cyber Monday. All you people that like to procrastinate, the people that like to go ahead on Black Friday the night before and they camp out waiting for that great deal. Well, hello, newsflash, the deal for Zipa is now. The deal for Zipa is today. We do not reward procrastination. If you want a great price on a Zipa, go to Zipa.com and buy now. If you're going to go ahead and procrastinate, we're going to penalize you for it. What does that mean? That means the price of all the Zipas go up on Black Friday. And you know what happens on Cyber Monday? It goes up again. This is the last opportunity that you will have to get this great price for the Zipa. This is the time now. You wait till Black Friday, the price is going up. Because remember, sleep is priceless. Go to Zipa.com, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com, and get the deal now.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And we are doing questions, and our number is 800-313-9443. And right now, I'm going to do some more questions from the chat room. Okay, so this person has been treating a mouth infection under a crown with garlic capsules, took 3 caps a day, 3 times a day for 10 days, then stopped because it seemed gone. But it has come back now after 3 weeks in remission. Well, that's pretty good, 3 weeks in remission. I've started the garlic again and no more pain. Yay! But how long should I take it to completely get rid of the infection? Okay, so you have this infection because your blood is not clean. So you have this infection because either you're not drinking enough water, so that the circulation is not vigorous enough to get these organisms through the liver, or maybe you need milk thistle to get the liver to suck up these organisms and dispose of them at a faster rate, or your diet is such that it's contributing to this. So you have to take a look at all of these factors. And so what's happening is not that the garlic is failing, but you're actually reinfecting your tooth under your crown. And so you've got to adjust your diet. You have to adjust your water intake and possibly even add milk thistle to clean your blood so that bacteria are not being deposited in this location. Okay. Okay, so here is someone who's listened to the show tonight, but didn't quite grip a few things. So we're going to read this question, then we're going to clarify what's going on here. Okay. It says, stopping the growth of bacteria sounds like working within the system, whereas killing the bacteria is total destruction of not only the dangerous organism, but the vessel as well. I guess the vessel might be the human being. Is total destruction the true aim anyway? No. The aim is just to separate you from your money and your health. There is no distinction between stopping the growth and killing the organism. And I'll just tell you, the reason for this is because death of a bacteria is defined as stopping the growth. So if you take a bacteria and put it on a petri dish and with all of its favorite food, just the right temperature, and it does not grow, it's said to be dead. So killing an organism and stopping its growth are two things that mean exactly the same thing. But these two terms were arbitrarily created to make certain drugs appear more desirable than other drugs. In actual fact, there is no difference between the two, and the categorical distinction is meaningless. So I hope that helps you. All right, let's look for some other questions. All right. Can we forage for clay on our own? I would not do that. I actually tried foraging for clay on my own. I actually drove all the way to Georgia and got a shovel and got some Georgia red clay, put it in a sack, and brought it back to New York. Oh, my God. And so I figured, well, you know, it's clay. There's probably some, organisms in there. So I baked in the oven at about 400 degrees for an hour, thinking that would help. Well, so then finally I got the courage to eat this clay. And so I took a spoonful of clay and washed it down. Initially I felt like, wow, this is a really nice cleansing feeling. I feel freer. I feel better. I feel lighter. This is great. And then, of course, a few hours later, I developed fevers and a rash. pustules, I guess you could say, on my skin, on my beautiful, clear skin. And I said, well, I guess that was not a good idea. So I do not recommend mining your own clay, even though theoretically it should be okay. But there is something that needs to be done to the clay to make it not transmit disease when taken internally. So what I would say is, if you're going to use clay, forage your own clay, then just use it externally. Yeah, instead of internally. Okay. Okay, Dr. Daniels. Growers give Baytril, B-A-Y-T-R-I-L, to cattle. But if the cattleman accidentally injects himself with it, he's a dead man. How is this safe to give to people? Exactly. And the answer is, of course, it's not. And this is why you almost have to grow your own livestock if you're going to eat meat. The next best thing, of course, is to, you know, talk to the person raising your meat, explain to them how fussy you are, and ask them, hey, you know, do you think you could do this for me? Do you think you could raise an animal without any drugs at all? And I'll buy it from you. Now, an honest cattleman will tell you, look, I could do this. You could pay me to do it. But I can't guarantee you this animal is going to live. You know, maybe it'll drop dead. Would you pay me for the animal even if I do all these things you tell me to and the animal drops dead? Now, an enterprising cattleman might raise, say, 6 or 8 animals this way. Let's say he raises 8 animals in this manner with No hormones, no antibiotics, natural feed, no injections of any kind. That means no immunizations either, and doesn't dip them in drugs for parasites. Let's say the cattleman's going to do all this. So an enterprising cattleman might raise 8 cattle this way and only sell 6. And, of course, charge more, anticipating that maybe one or more of these cattle would either A, die, or B, end up needing some kind of drug or intervention and not be available for sale. So you just have to find someone who will do that for you, or make up your mind that you're going to eat a different kind of meat, one that can grow in your backyard, maybe chickens. So, Dr. Jones, what was that other thing with garlic? That would be mullein, M-U-L-L-E-I-N, mullein. So you can buy a combination of garlic and mullein and usually an olive oil base and use that as ear drops, and that's extremely effective. Okay. All right. So someone says, I think I used peroxide in my ear too much. I messed up the acidity, resulting in a fungal infection. So I don't recommend peroxide. Dr. Diaz, what's the main cause of high blood pressure? There is no one main cause of high blood pressure. There are many causes of high blood pressure. And any one particular person, one or all of these things could be at work. So the number one cause of high blood pressure is kidney problems. So when the kidney gets clogged up with a high-protein/high-meat diet, the heart has to increase its pressure to get blood through the kidneys. So that's one cause, is a high-meat diet. Second cause is a high-hormone diet. So if you have meat that's been injected with hormones, then those hormones basically tell the heart to beat faster and harder. The other cause of high blood pressure is dehydration. So if you don't drink enough water, your blood gets very thick, and then your heart's got to pump harder and harder to try and get it through. Third cause of high blood pressure is a sluggish liver. So the liver is not filtering all the impurities out of the blood, and these impurities stay in the blood, make the blood thicker, and again, the heart's got to pump faster and harder to get the blood through the blood vessels because it's so thick and sludgy and filled with impurities. So those are the factors that affect high blood pressure. And of course, the answer is to influence each and every one of these factors, and that will lower the blood pressure and make it actually normal. Now, along the way, some people like to use herbs like hawthorn or cayenne or apple cider vinegar. And these things are all nice, but once you relieve or reduce all these causative factors, you will not even need those blood pressure herbs. Okay. Okay, let's see here. Okay, this person has a comment. So what's really crazy is that for many people, they're brave enough to try turpentine once or twice. But trying to get in the poop more than once a day is radical, crazy, dangerous. Can you believe that? Yeah, so people have to really educate themselves. And what I tell people is if you're feeling perfectly healthy, then whatever number of bowel movements you're having is just fine. But if you're not feeling perfectly healthy, then increase your bowel movements to 3 a day and add turpentine and watch your health really soar. And again, for information on this, you can go to vitalitycapsules.com, enter your email address, and you will get your copy of the Candida Cleaner Report updated version 2.0. All right. And so this person elaborates and says, people think that pooping more than once or twice a day is going to kill them. Yes, that's true. I was in medical practice, and I would say to people, you know, I think you need to have 3 bowel movements a day. And they would just flip out. Oh, my God, Dr. Daniels, I can't do it. That's obscene. Most people will agree to at least move from twice a week to once a day, or once every 2 weeks to once a day. But there is a definite cultural resistance to more than one bowel movement a day. And so to that, I point to Michio Kushi, the father of macrobiotics, a form of healthy eating where he promoted one and only one bowel movement a day. One, a big one, but only one. And he died of colon cancer, and his wife died of cervical cancer. The two people, proponents of the macrobiotic diet, to, of course, cure cancer. Okay. okay. Okay, so let's see, looking for questions here. Now, Dr. Daniels, when I was 11, I was told that I would never have an original thought of my own. What do you think about this? I think that's really just an awful concept. And I think everyone has thoughts, and everyone should believe that when they have a thought that no one else has ever had, or they haven't heard anyone else voice the same thought, that it's okay. And maybe someone else, somewhere else in the world, might have a similar thought, and maybe you're not aware of that person, but you should never feel that it's an awful thing to have an original thought. In fact, when I was a kid, I understood that having an original thought was my only way to survive. And so they would have these TV shows. Those of you who are younger might not have been exposed to the same thing. But it was really a famous line on Westerns to say, hey, don't get any bright ideas. And when I heard that, I would say, what? I could use some bright ideas. That's the only way I'm going to ever, you know, get by in life, is to have some bright ideas. So, you know, you have to really resist this programming that tries to con you into not using your brain. Because chances are, it's really about the only thing that's going to make a substantial difference in your outcome. All right, let's go. All right. This person says, earache? Well, for heaven's sakes, you need to poop. Who's going to figure that one out? So I have to tell you a joke. One of my patients told me. So when I talk with my patients back in the 90s, and I would say, look, I can give you garlic pills, I can give you eardrops, all this stuff, but you've got to get the disease out of your body. The only way to do that is to poop. And so a patient came in to me one day, a longtime patient, and she said to me, you know, I don't see how people ever expect to heal unless they poop. So she had got the total programming. And it just makes your life so much easier. And it makes the miracle cure, if you want to call it that, so much easier. And for those of you who feel that pooping 3 times a day is an impossibility, definitely go to vitalitycapsules.com. Scroll all the way to the bottom. It says, I already have my report. Click that. And then you go to the page where you can purchase Vitality Capsules. I developed them when I was in medical practice back in the 90s because people told me, hey, I can't poop. I don't know how to poop. It's just too much trouble. If you give me a pill, I'll take it and I'll poop. And I said, okay. And so I got to work. And that's when I came up with. So, yes, there is a lot of resistance to that, again, because of the propaganda that one bomblet a day is all anyone needs. And if you went to medical school, they told you that, or teach the doctors, that one bomblet a week is all anyone ever needs. So, there's a lot of misinformation going on out there in terms of what people can do to stay healthy, which is definitely unfortunate. All right, let's see. Dr. Daniels, all these statistics are leaving me slack-jawed. Changing definitions and methods of calculations are sleight of hand. This keeps me running in circles. So we come back to talk.
No, please don't go. I don't want to stay here on my own. Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm burning, burning? Oh, doctor.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, so this person in the chat room says, all these statistics are leaving me sitting here slack-jawed. Changing definitions and methods of calculations are sleight of hand. Keeps me running in circles. And that is the point. That is exactly the point of it. And so it keeps doctors running in circles as well. And so these definitions are arbitrary and are created to make it appear there's a difference when there actually is none. And so this is what your doctor is being subjected to. And so literally the doctor has to sit there and just move through all this stuff, realize that static and cidal are actually the same thing, and it's not a meaningful definition. And for me, as I sat there in medical school, being bombarded with all this stuff at the speed of 90 hours a week and being deprived of sleep, I said, this makes no sense. This distinction does not result in better outcomes. So the outcome is not going to be any better, according to the observation, if a static or a cidal drug is used, or even worse, the definition of static is the same as the definition for cidal. So it doesn't make any difference. And so, again, this happens a lot in medicine. They'll tell the doctor, well, this thing is different from that thing. We're going to give it two different names. You say, well, wait a minute. You have two different names and the same definition. So they're the same thing. And so, so many people are used to making this, like this Sesame Street game, you know. One of these things is not like the others. One of these things does not belong. And so people are so used to splitting hairs and finding things to be different when really there is no difference. And so in medical school, they would make jokes about this and ridicule people who said, wait, these two things are the same definition, therefore they're the same. Let's put them together. Those people were called lumpers. And they were, it was said, well, you're just a lumper. You're putting things together because you're too stupid to keep track of all these different separate categories. I said to myself, well, it doesn't matter. If the definitions are the same, I'm going to put them together. And I'm not going to treat them differently because, well, they have the same definition. So this happens a lot in medicine. And it keeps doctors totally off balance and totally unable to actually analyze in an aggregate manner what the heck is going on. Okay. So, okay, we got that. Makes you wonder just who is educating those medical students. What can magicians teach doctors? Huh, a lot. In fact, you have a bunch of magicians writing the curriculum. Okay. Dr. Daniels, could you explain the difference between parasites, bacteria, viruses, and toxins? Someone asked me the other day, and I had problems giving them a clear answer. Okay. Oh, my God, we're almost done. Parasites, bacteria, viruses are all the same thing. They're all parasites. And we'll have to leave toxins for another time because we are out of time. All right, that's it. Think happens. We will see you next week.
Just standing there. I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.